Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch, John engineering and producing the show. And John and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 25th of August, 2020, as we bring Southern Arizonans together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. There is a heat and high pollution advisory. So we have the heat advisory in effect today, and this is really important. This is a serious health situation for anyone with breathing issues. Pima County has issued a high pollution advisory. So if you are in that category of any kind of breathing issues, I know myself, I'm very allergic to wood smoke, so I've been really feeling the impact of all this smoke that is settled over Tucson. We're really in the center of this. The high pressure, this air is swirling around Tucson, picking up all the smoke from the California fires, going up to Colorado and making a big circle and then coming back around. So we do have a situation here. The best advice, stay inside if you don't have to go out. Let's go now on the live line to Phoenix. Max Goschert is with us. Max is the associate director of the nonprofit Grand Canyon Institute. An estimated 15,000 underemployed Arizonans who have seen their pay cut by up to 67% due to the COVID-19 pandemic will be blocked from receiving the new $300 weekly federal unemployment supplement, which was announced last week by Governor Ducey. Max, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Max, why are these folks, this estimated 15,000, falling kind of between the cracks?
Well, you know, we've received good news recently, actually. So the Department of Labor put out updated guidelines on that program. And the initial guidelines that the Trump administration put out were actually not entirely correct. So the Trump administration said that you would have to be receiving $100 in benefits from the state level in order to receive the $300 from the federal level. Now, it turns out that you just have to be eligible for those $100, according to the Department of Labor, which already in Arizona you would have to be. So the good thing is that that was put out right after we put out our research. The Department of Labor put out that correction. So it turns out that those 15,000 people are in fact still going to receive that federal amount. Now, that doesn't change the fact that because of Arizona's poor unemployment insurance laws right now, you know, we have tens of thousands of people who could be receiving additional federal monies that are not, because we are not capturing them in our programs.
Could you kind of give us the overview? You say poor unemployment laws. Could you kind of give us the overview of what that's all about, Max?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, right now we have in order to receive, or if you receive unemployment insurance, you are only receiving $240 a week at most. Now, this is the second lowest in the nation, and we only have a $30 income disregard. So you're receiving $240, and if you make even a dollar more than $30 in that week, that money is going to be subtracted from what you're receiving in benefits. So if you were like many people who had a job and then were laid off or had their hours cut, in many other states, you were able to receive unemployment insurance because your income was meaningfully cut. And when we looked at this, we found that people, their hours were being cut, you know, at about people who were receiving unemployment insurance, their hours were being cut by about 20 hours. So this was a significant amount of hours that were being cut. Now, in many other states, they would be able to receive unemployment insurance because that's a significant income loss if your hours are basically cut in half. But here in Arizona, they would not be eligible for unemployment insurance because they would still be earning far more than $30, which would wipe out all of their benefits. And not only does that take away the state benefits, that takes away that $300 from the federal government as well.
Did you say we are, there's only one other state that has a more dismal look at this?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we are the lowest, one of the lowest in the nation, which is not something that we should pride ourselves on.
How can it be fixed, Max?
Well, there's many different things that we can do. I mean, for one, we could make it so that people who are eligible for unemployment insurance can receive more. Because, I mean, for a lot of people, $240 in a week, that does not do very much. You know, that's less than $1,000 a month. And if you're, you know, if you have a family, if you have children that are relying on that paycheck, and maybe one of the parents lost their job, I mean, that is a very that's a very small amount. So we can increase that amount, and we looked at a couple of different options. So we looked at an option that was more similar to Texas, where the maximum amount is $490 a week rather than $270. And then we could also allow people to work more because we want to encourage work. You don't want to discourage people to go out and find a job, or if they have a job right now that their hours were cut, we want to continue to encourage them to go to that job. So you can have it so that people can make more money while also receiving benefits. So instead of having a $30 income disregards, you can make only $30 before your benefits get reduced. We looked at Texas has theirs is your unemployment benefits, your expected unemployment benefits are multiplied by 1.25, and that's the amount you can work. Or Georgia, Governor Brian Kemp, right as this pandemic was kicking off, he announced that he was increasing their income disregard to $300. So you can make $300 before your unemployment benefits were cut. And that we looked at that, and that would help the most people. We looked at how many people that would help, and we estimated that if we switched to either one of those programs, we could be helping an additional 400,000 to 110,000 Arizonans receive both state unemployment insurance, but more importantly, the federal unemployment insurance, you know, by us increasing those qualifications.
And we have how many Arizonans are currently receiving this regular state unemployment benefits, Max?
You know, I will, I am not sure exactly how much it is right now. But it's a substantial amount, and these amounts are climbing. You know, we had about 20 weeks or so where nationally unemployment insurance claims each week, we had over 1 million people, new people each week filing federal unemployment or for unemployment insurance. And that dropped a little bit. We had a couple weeks where it was under 1 million, but then last week it's back up to 1.1 million. So, I mean, this number is going up. It's high in Arizona. You know, we had, let me see. So for last week in Arizona, we had 219,000 people, who were, continuing, to receive, claims, in Arizona. And, so it, you know, we're seeing that amount go up and up. Our rate right now is at 7.5%, our uninsured, unemployment rate. Whereas last year at this time, we were at less than 1%. So this is, you know, we have like a sevenfold increase in the number of people who are receiving unemployment. And the reality is that only one in eight households who have somebody who's unemployed actually are eligible to receive unemployment insurance. So, you know, that's a sevenfold increase, but, you know, one in eight people aren't even eligible to receive those.
All right, let's take a quick question from a listener. Matt would like to ask Max Goschert, the associate director of the nonprofit Grand Canyon Institute, a question. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, Max, I gather you guys had done a report before the 15,000 number, urging the governor to consider accepting the money and how much it would cost him if he went the additional 5 weeks. He's sitting on $1 billion. So he does have some resources to work with. Why doesn't he do something? Thank you.
Mr. Goschert, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks for your question, Matt. I mean, the reality is that the governor is trying to, he's trying to, you know, he's trying to call upon his fiscal conservative roots of saying, no, we don't want to discourage people from working. We don't want to tax businesses more. We want to, you know, we want to provide a incentive to go for people to go and work. But, you know, he's pinching pennies to when in reality we're losing millions and millions, and actually billions of dollars. I think that it's just the narrative that the governor has of Arizona not wanting to be a welfare state, of Arizona not wanting to pay people just to sit at home. It's getting in the way of this economic reality that, thousands and thousands of Arizonans are in real economic crisis. And as a consequence, because it's not just the people who are not receiving that unemployment insurance that are suffering right now. It's all of the businesses that those people usually shop at. We estimated that Arizona had lost in the past couple months between $1 billion to $2 billion because we had this extremely strict unemployment insurance policies. So really what the governor needs to do is ask himself, it's like, okay, is it worth it to have these strict policies so that maybe we are catching a couple of people who would not be working if we had a more liberal policy? Or do we have a more liberal policy and pay a lot of people more money so that they can survive, their families can survive, and then the small businesses that they shop at can survive?
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. Max Goschert, Associate Director of the nonprofit Grand Canyon Institute, which is a centrist think tank based up in Phoenix, and it's led by a bipartisan group of former state lawmakers, economists, community leaders, folks who really try to take kind of a centrist look at some of these very important issues. Max, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right. People can find out more at GrandCanyonInstitute.org. We're going to take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio, and he gives me a thumb that is not going up. It's not going down. It's just neutral. Be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. It's time for the birthday boy, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Happy birthday, Shelley. You had a good birthday. Yesterday was actually the big day, and had a nice weekend.
It was, and we pigged out on Saturday instead of waiting till Monday.
Yeah, there you go. It's never too early to start celebrating your birthday, right? There has been some celebrating on Wall Street, new highs being set on several of the indices.
Yeah, the investors in the market are incredibly optimistic and want to take a look at any good news to drive this market higher and higher. We'll have to see what happens. I don't think it's sustainable, and we've certainly spoken about that. We'll see over the next couple of weeks what's going to happen. What is clear, however, is that something very unusual is going on in this economy, and it is very difficult to really explain it. After last week's show, I had several listeners actually connect with me and want to talk more about the stuff we talked about last week, which is that Democratic administrations since World War II have been better for the economy than Republican administrations. And so what people are curious about is, gosh, is there some sort of new theory have the laws of physics changed such that you can spend anything you want now and not experience inflation? Just today, there was an article in MarketWatch where a traditional economic line of reasoning was put forth and basically saying destructive inflation will be the price we pay for free money in the economy. And what this author is saying is, look, we either take the pain now and cut back on these deficits, or we'll pay for it in the future. And in fact, the concluding sentence in the article, I'll read it because it's really something that has always been what most people believed. If tech and financialization were the two big trends from the last 20 years, inflation will be the big trend of the next 20. That said, there's a whole bunch of people out there right now who have a lot of influence who say, that's nonsense.
I'm hearing that, though, a lot, that Market Watch, that theory, because that's been the conventional wisdom that you just can't keep printing money fast enough around the world without paying a price of inflation. It's going to be waiting around the corner.
And that's
that
traditional thinking
right now. But has something changed?
Maybe. Yep, it's called Modern Monetary Theory, or MMT. And it basically says deficits aren't the problem. Deficits are the solution. So what modern monetary theory... Oh, and I should just point out that two of the largest proponents of modern monetary theory in popular political environment right now are Bernie Sanders and AOC, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. They believe that what the government needs to do is anything that it needs to do to promote full employment and to make sure that we are doing both with our infrastructure and with the things we need to do to raise people up, that we should spend as much as we need to do that. What's really interesting is that they're saying that. Guess who's practicing it?
Who?
President Donald J. Trump.
Really?
So President Trump, since the tax reform of a couple of years ago, is practicing very, very high deficits and bragging about, guess what? He's bragging about the lowest unemployment numbers in modern history. And he's right, because what happens, even though the economy isn't any better off, we're still only growing at about 2.3%, and the markets are only growing at around, you know, 12%. But we have this very, very low unemployment number. And the reason for that is because the government is printing a lot of money, flooding the markets with, well, it'll be $3 trillion this year, but let's just assume we had a more normal situation without the pandemic. In that case, we'd have about a $1 trillion deficit this year. And that extra money is providing, on the demand side, a lot more money for people to be able to spend. That provides demand for additional jobs. And that's what's happening. So what the government's doing is printing money. They're using, to a limited extent, modern monetary theory to say, don't worry about inflation. We haven't seen inflation for, 20 years or so. Don't worry about that. Let's just get the economy moving best we can by having the government step in and provide as much fuel as necessary to get people employed. That will in turn give people more money to spend, and that will in turn feed on itself. Now, we don't know whether that's true or not. We don't know whether inflation will be the result
Basically uncharted waters when
exactly.
You start talking about MMT. But it is interesting that you're talking about Bernie and Donald Trump having very similar views on this.
Well, because what it's doing is it's saying the government is going to be the prime mover of economic growth instead of the private sector. And so you have some downsides to this theory. I mean, it sounds wonderful. If this is, you know, the panacea for all our economic
woes. Right, is this the path we're going to be traveling?
Just keep printing money.
Right. Uh-huh.
And
as long as the machines are printing money,
bingo.
Yeah.
But there are some downsides. Mm-hmm. First of all, when you have that much government control, you have political bias
sure.
that can step in and make wrong decisions that are hard to reverse. There's also a lack of discipline. I mean, it's kind of being on a sugar high all the time. So that's a potential downside. And if you get indications in the economy that, in fact, inflation is picking up, you really have only two ways of reining that inflation in. One is through higher taxes, and the other is through reduced spending. Well, both of those things have about a year delay between the time you make the decision to do them and you can implement them, because they have to be passed through Congress. And you know, budgets are always done a year in advance, and taxation is also something that no politician wants to vote for. So correcting problems with modern monetary theory can be very, very iffy in a highly politicized environment. Another problem is that if we only had one world economy
mm-hmm.
and only one world currency, there would be no arbitrage between currencies, and so that would remove one problem. But when you have arbitrage between currencies, then you can have the effect of your printing money causes somebody else to print money, and at some point you go into this critical mass problem. And you do start creating inflation that is hard to reverse.
So you're really walking a tightrope with MMT, aren't you?
You really are. Now,
and it's, who knows where it's going to end.
Exactly.
And there may not be a net under that tightrope.
Correct. But if MMT, if modern monetary theory, is the new physics,
yes,
then whether you like it or not, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if traditional monetary policy is ineffective or less effective, then what you have now is something else that we're practicing. We're kind of getting there. And it's a little scary to watch, but people should be aware that this is what's going on and be very, very willing to articulate concerns to their elected officials.
All right, Shelley, we're going to wrap it up right there. Where can people find you? You said you had a couple of listeners who did find you, and I think we need to articulate that.
A couple of ways. One, okay. Go to the
BuckmasterShow.com,
and we'll get, you can find
we'll
me
get
there.
You there. There's a link there.
The other way is to go to ShelleyFishman.com, and you can find both my email address and my telephone number.
And you welcome listeners to check in with you.
I absolutely do. I love talking to people.
Okay. Shelley Fishman, once again, all the best wishes for another trip around the sun, as they say.
27.
Yeah, there you go. 27 trips. Well, you know, whatever. Shelley, have a great week. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management at the midway point of Buckmaster on this very hazy, smoky afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. Be right back.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Additional support comes from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The 13-acre site is now home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. A couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The 37th anniversary of Tucson-based Southwest University of Visual Arts is ushering in a couple of changes, some major changes, including new leadership. After a national search, Dr. Richard Borum has been selected to lead SUVA, and he joins us now on the live line. Dr. Borum, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much for your time today. I'm excited to have an opportunity to share some of the good news about SUVA, as we like to call ourselves.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background and what you think you can bring and hopefully bring to the table with SUVA.
Well, thank you. So I've been in higher education administration for well over 30 years. I've worked for a variety of different kinds of colleges. I was with the Jesuit Catholic University, Regis University, in the Denver area for over 12 years. I've served as a president of smaller colleges in California and in Colorado. Most recently, I served as dean of academics for the Johnson & Wales University campus in Denver. So I'm relocating for this incredible professional opportunity. Moving to the Tucson area from southern Denver. So it's just an exciting time to be a part of the organization. We've really evolved as a small nonprofit university that specializes in undergraduate education for aspiring artists. We're excited to be a part of the downtown community, as we might talk about. The university moved our campus to downtown Tucson over the summer. We're right off of Congress Street, and we're just looking forward to partnering with community leaders and families as we continue to expand our academic program.
Yeah, that is one of the other major changes about ushering that will be ushered in. Not only your leadership at this change in location downtown with the campus, how will that serve your students better, Dr. Borum?
Well, you know, even from my personal experience, as I visited Tucson, I just felt such an energy and vibrant sense being in downtown Tucson. It's certainly a smaller city than where I'm coming from, but I see some similarities as I watch downtown Denver really evolve over the last 25 years. There's a lot of construction. There's so many organizations that support the arts, which is certainly in alignment with our mission and how we want to be perceived and how we are truly as an institution. We looked at our demographics, and we know that this is going to be a better fit for many of our students just as they travel through the city. We're right on the mass transit corridor. So for those students that are using mass transit, it should be a great fit. We just really think it reflects our mission of being a community-oriented institution, and really provides us with a great partnership as we look at other nonprofits who are serving students and aspiring students and art professionals.
What does SUVA have to offer? What type of degree and what fields are included in your expertise?
Sure, that's a great question. Thank you so much. So we are a regionally accredited institution. We're accredited by HLC, the same type of accreditor that all of the large, the great institutions here in Tucson and across this part of the country are accredited by. And we're authorized by the state of Arizona to award Bachelor of Fine Art degrees and Bachelor of Art degrees in fields like animation, graphic design, illustration, photography, studio art, and interior design. And historically, we've also offered a Master of Fine Art degree. We're not accepting students for the MFA right now because we wanted to complete our relocation. We need to build out some additional space, some studio classroom space, but we hope to again offer that graduate degree in the near future.
Are there opportunities, Dr. Borum, to provide students with some grants or scholarships and to keep those tuition costs low?
Yeah, that's always an important consideration for students and families. We are, as a regionally accredited institution, we are able to extend the same kinds of opportunities that the community college or state institutions might provide in terms of students having the opportunity to apply for federal grant and loan funds. So those would be things like the Pell Grant or the Stafford Loan, the same types of financial aid that most institutions offer. And then coming on board with the support of our trustees, I developed a new scholarship program that we're extending this fall that we're calling the President's Scholarship Award. And we're granting that to all of the students that begin studies with us and our continuing students who are returning this fall at $5,000 an academic year, which if a student, when they're staying with us for 4 years to complete their bachelor's degree, will equal a $20,000 scholarship grant. We're looking for opportunities again where we can support our learners and really, really facilitate that continual evolution. As our mission states, we're really all about the transformation of students through the study of art and design.
We're speaking with Dr. Richard Borum. He is the new president of the, actually he is the president and CEO of Tucson-based Southwest University of Visual Arts. Your own background, what brought you into education, Dr. Borum?
You know, I'm a first-generation college graduate, so I grew up in a rural part of the United States, and no one in my family had attended college, let alone had the opportunity to complete a degree. I saw higher education, and I believe it's still true today, as really a ticket of opportunity that there's a lot of research statistics on this, but those who have an opportunity to complete a degree not only certainly will make more over their lifetime, but there are just so many more career opportunities available to those who are able to complete an education. So I've been driven at a very early age. You know, my wife asks, my gosh, where did that drive come from? I don't know. Sometimes I think it's just intrinsic of who we are. And then I've been blessed to go on and complete my master's degree at the University of Colorado and then my doctorate degree. And I just have such a passion for learning because I know personally the transformational process and the difference that an education makes, because I can look at my life and how I've been able to raise my children and the contributions that we make back to our students. When you work in a field like education, every day, I believe, and I share this with my staff, and I believe it so wholeheartedly, every day we have the opportunity to impact the lives of our students. What we do really makes a difference.
So true. What about classes in this very difficult environment of the pandemic? How will that model look?
Boy, that's a challenge for all of education, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We surveyed our students in the summer and asked them, first of all, what is their preference? And not surprisingly, as art and design students, they want to be in the classroom. They're tactile learners. They want to have the opportunity to work in small groups. But also, we certainly have the utmost priority to keep our students and faculty safe. So we've developed a learning platform where some of our classes, painting and drawing, for example, are offered here at the campus in classes restricted to 10 or fewer students. So we're really spreading those students apart. Everyone will have to wear a mask and we'll check their temperature as they arrive on the campus. Other classes, like our general education courses, are offered fully online. And then some of our studio courses will be offered in a blended format, so it'll be a combination of online and classroom-based learning. And we're prepared. Hopefully we won't have to make that decision, but we're prepared if we have to take all of our coursework online which the university made that decision in March as the pandemic started. So fingers crossed, lots of good thoughts for our colleagues in K-12 education and universities across the country. And really, it's a much bigger issue for our society that we can move through this and keep people healthy and get to the other side as soon as possible.
Where can people find out more? Where can our listeners find out more about the enrollment, the scholarship aid, and general information about SUVA?
The easiest way to learn more about us would be to go online. Our email address is very simple, SUVA, S-U-V-A, Southwest University of Visual Arts, .edu. So SUVA.edu. Or they certainly can call us, 520-325-0123, and ask to speak to one of our admissions professionals.
Dr. Borum, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. You have a great afternoon.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Richard Borum, who is now heading up he's the president and CEO at Southwest University of Visual Arts, 37 years here in Tucson. We'll take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Tuesday afternoon. Dan Gibson coming up next.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this hazy, rather smoke-filled afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. We do have a heat and high pollution advisory in effect today. So if you have any kind of breathing issues, best to stay inside. The portion of the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit Silver City so you're ready when New Mexico, the land of enchantment, is once again open to out-of-state visitors. Only a three-hour drive from Tucson, lots to do and some great places to stay, and you can find out all about it by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Speaking of tourism, it's time for our monthly tourism report with Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. What's the thinking, and I know your business is, of course, forward-looking. What is the thinking among tourism folks around the country for the PV world? The PV world would be the post-vaccine world. So many are pointing to that really being kind of when things will really maybe return to somewhat of a normalcy. What's the thinking about marketing at this point, tourism?
I think at this point we're still, it's so difficult to sort of foresee the vaccine or sort of a time period in which that exists. I think still pretty much all of us are in the space of, okay, well, how long will these restrictions last? How much can we work within them? I mean, is there any sort of easing of the restrictions at all, like a slightly more relaxed state? But what will tourism look like with masks into the distant future? I mean, I think that's everyone I talk to really rarely talks about vaccines just because it's just so unknown, right? I mean, you certainly every once in a while you'll hear some sort of rumor or positive thing, but by and large, that's maybe, you know, a 2021 dream at best, and maybe not even then.
Well, the thinking has to be then, if we are doing forward thinking, which we're all hoping for, even if you're not planning for the vaccine, you are planning to try to return. If you're a hotel operator or a restaurant, you want to get people back, and you want to get them in a safe, in a very safe manner to do so. So, hotels, the big thing now is being health conscious. Correct?
Exactly. It really is the main thing that you can tell any consumer. And there's, you know, I tend to say it this way. There's a group of people that were always going to travel. They were not super concerned about the restrictions or what was going to happen. They're like, you're not going to stop me, right? That's a small group on one end. And there's a small group on the other end that's not going to travel until there's a vaccine, period. But the space in the middle is sort of the larger part of what you're thinking about right now. And it's just, how can you make those people feel comfortable, not just make them feel comfortable, but actually provide for their safety? And thankfully, like the work the Pima County Health Department is doing with the Pima Ready and sort of like giving people the information they need to provide as much safety as possible. And then our job and others is to communicate that to everyone at large. It really is people want to know even before they go, what's it going to be like, and how is my safety going to be a concern?
You know, I think you really nailed it there. You've got probably on one end about 25% who say, I'm not going to travel under any circumstances, not going to leave my house, whatever, until there is a vaccine. Then you have 25% who have been really traveling all along throughout this. It's that middle ground. And when I see reports like what came out this week from CNN, the statisticians at MIT saying, here are your odds if you are flying on an airplane. Your odds of getting COVID-19 are 1 in 7,500. That is if the middle seat is not occupied. If you are on a crowded aircraft, it's 1 in 5,000 your chances of getting coronavirus. The filters being used in airplanes literally clean the air every 2 to 3 minutes. They're, you know, state-of-the-art, they're hospital quality. But no matter how many statistics we throw out there, Dan Gibson, certainly that 25% of the people that aren't going to travel, it's not going to matter what you say. You could tell them the statistic is 1 in a million, and they wouldn't take a chance.
Right, and that's the sort of, like, it's just what people feel comfortable with, you know, and we're still looking primarily at drive markets still. Not to say that we certainly want to encourage people to fly. We want to make people aware of, you know, those sort of statistics and the work that the airport and the airlines are doing. If people want to fly, they are certainly welcome to do so, and we encourage if they feel safe. But right now, our story is going to be drive markets for a long time. I mean, it's going to be reaching out to, you know, to the Phoenixes, the Albuquerques, the Los Angeleses, San Diego's to say, you know, Arizona's on is doing really well. You know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, about infection rate and hospitalization rate, and it's getting safer in that sense. And especially in Tucson and Pima County, we're doing the work to keep people safe. And you know, that's when you see the sort of Pima Ready thing in front of a business, it gives you a sense of like, oh, okay, right, they've done these standards that the Pima County Health Department has set. Like, you know, they're aware of what's happening. And I think some of those things go a long way. The number of people that, you know, we're even looking at, there's these surveys done of how many people would be upset if they saw an ad for a tourism destination. We're still in that space where there's a group of people who are like, I don't want to see ads right now. I don't want to see ads for traveling. I have no interest in it. And that number is starting to ease out. Now, I think like last week or the week before was the first week that there were more people willing who would welcome ads for destinations than would not. So it's such a transitional thing. It's just
I did not even think of that there would be people who would be adverse to even seeing an ad about tourism. But you say that number is starting to change a little bit.
Well, and yeah, exactly. And then what is the openness of a destination to tourists, right? I think it was in the last time I saw in June, 60% of people who live in cities didn't want people to visit yet. So even, you know, what kind of experience are people are going to have? It's all these moving pieces that we're thinking about all the time. You know, we had the first sort of travel journalist of a particular level, say, like a good travel journalist, reach out about a trip in October. And that was the first, like, meaningful press trip request we've had since all this started. And it's like, oh, well, that's a sea change, right? We're looking at things a little bit differently now. So it's so adaptive. You know, our focus in a lot of ways is like, how do we get locals to do a little bit more traveling? How do we get locals to visit more attractions, to get out in safe ways? And then, you know, kind of move out in sort of concentric circles from there, right? Like as we're marketing to Phoenix and Tucson now, and then it'll move out a little bit and then more to domestic, especially as the winter comes in, then you'll probably see us marketing into cold weather destinations. And then the great sort of white whale of that will be when international travel is open again.
You know, I would think New York and Kansas and a few of these other states that a month or 6 weeks ago had Arizona near the top of the list saying we do not want visitors from Arizona. Well, we have an infection rate now the lowest in the United States, transmission rate. Our case numbers are way, way down. You wonder, how do we get off the list? I guess I don't know how it works. Maybe that's a function of the Arizona tourism people, state board or whatever, lobbying New York or Kansas and saying, when are you going to take us off the list?
I know. I think it's people are going to look, and in those sort of dark months of the high infection rates, you know, the traffic to our website decreased, and we were seeing people unsubscribe from some of our social media platforms. But those numbers are coming back. I think it takes some time of just people being more comfortable with it, but not being in the sort of five states listed as the bad guys. It's certainly a plus. I will say that much.
All right. Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. Thank you, Dan. All that you do for this program, very much appreciate it. And actually, I want to promote the fact that you will be hosting this show next Wednesday as I try to carve out a little summer vacation, go to a place where I think it's going to be cooler, Mount Rainier National Park up in Washington. We'll keep our fingers crossed, get away from this smoke for a while. What kind of show do you have planned in about 10 seconds?
We're going to be talking about attractions, about the places that are in Tucson that locals should support, but also mean so much to visitors, the sort of the museums, the zoos, all that stuff.
Thank you very much, Dan. Have a great day.
My pleasure.
Buckmaster wrapping it up. John Couch, thanks, John. Another great job. That'll do it. Dave Ramsey's next. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.